Well, I'd like to open us in prayer. So please pray with me. Lord Christ, living God, Holy Spirit, God, we pray not to our own conception of you, but to the you that you know yourself to be. Help us to expand our imaginations of who you are and how you work in the world. Help us expand our imaginations of what is truly possible with your strength and your power. Help us to overcome the limitations that we put on you and on ourselves in this world, that we might fully live into the calling that you have set for us. Help us in this time of study to grow closer in our relationship with you through reflection on your sweet and dangerous holy word. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. So, welcome, Freddie.
Thank you.
Does everybody know each other? Or should we do a little intro?
Marty.
We can just do a name round. I'm John.
Carol.
Sorry.
Marty.
Amy.
Jennifer.
Jeffrey.
Freddie.
Karis. Hello.
Harvey.
We're doing names.
That's still mine.
We hear the two girl things.
Super teacher. Sure.
So today our main thing is going to be an exercise of creativity because we're talking about imagination. But I'll briefly kind of orient us before we do that. And so we've been talking about the prophets over the past 4 days now, and how the prophets of Scripture and the prophets today do a number of things. They help awaken us out of our numbness. They help us see what's really going on in the world. They give us eyes to see. They sensitize us. They help us have hearts that really care for other people. They help us have a sensitivity to the cries of the oppressed and to the own groans of our own hearts. They help kind of penetrate through the numbness that we so often operate in. They help us then lament. Once we become in touch with these feelings, they help us give voice to the sorrow that we might feel over the brokenness of our world. And so that's where we left it after yesterday. And so today we're talking about imagination and hope. Because God never leaves us in lament and leaves us in the crucifixion, but the resurrection follows. So the prophets help us reimagine what life can be like and breathe a fresh breath into our hopes. And they do this in the same way that they help awaken us by using really provocative language and interesting imagery. They help give us new hope using provocative language and interesting imagery as well. And through these are all different passages of Scripture that help cast the vision for God's kingdom realized. Not just, wouldn't it be great if, but with a lot of conviction and confidence and trust that actually God is going to do this stuff. It's not just wishful thinking. Like this is coming. This is coming. And so they do it with confidence and exciting, provocative. And they do it. In one of the effects of this is that it gives us comfort. And I found this really interesting etymology of comfort before. Has anybody ever tried to parse out this word and seen what it kind of means in its roots?
With strong?
Yeah. With, or along with, and
strength.
Strength. When God gives us comfort, it gives us strength along with. God's presence comes alongside and helps us not just kind of pat us on the head, but give us the strength that's necessary to participate in the calls that we have received. Those imaginations give us comfort. Walter Brueggemann, we've been using him over this course of this Bible study, says that in our culture we're obsessed with implementation. How do we get things done? But before, and we can do almost anything. Our culture can produce almost anything, and yet we can imagine almost nothing. We have extremely limited ability to envision a world any different than it is right now. We can produce, we can affect change, but we can't figure out what we should do with all this power that we have. So the prophets help us channel this power that's been given to us to use it for divine purposes. Today, I thought, since we're talking about imagination, it could be really fun to do some imaginative work. And so we're going to do this exercise called found poetry. Has anyone heard of the exercise before, found poetry? His eyes, Freddy, who we did this in church all the time. Have you heard of found art?
Yes.
What's found art? More or less.
Art out of common everyday things that you find or keep.
You probably have some found art here at Holden Village. It's like you find some stuff around you, some usually discarded things, or they're functional, but you make something, some new piece of artwork out of pre-existing items. And maybe you can play it too. So what we're going to do today is look at how the prophets have these visions of the kingdom of God, and write our own prophetic vision. And to do that, though, instead of just coming up with the world we wish for, we're going to use the images and the symbols of Scripture to spark that kind of imaginative process. And so in found poetry, what you do is you usually take several different poems based on a common theme, and you read them together, different voices read them, and you're allowed to plagiarize. You're allowed to kind of steal the words and images that really speak to you. And so we're going to read through these five passages of Scripture, and whatever words and images and phrases stick out to you, or maybe it sparks a different one in your mind, you don't have to use the one in there, you can write that down, and then we'll have a little bit of time to write our own prophetic image and vision of the kingdom of God. What is the world that we feel God is calling us to? And you're allowed to kind of use this language to do that. And unless we're able to articulate the world that we feel God has for us, then how can we really speak convincingly to other people? You can write those words down, and then you can have this kind of stack of words that you can use and images that you can use, and then you can write your own poem. It's probably not going to be technically a prophetic vision. It might happen. You might actually receive the divine inspiration in a really overwhelming way. But you can think of it as a poem, writing a poem about the world that you see God calling us to. Or if the Spirit descends upon you, then awesome. That would be great. So we'll see what happens. Do you kind of get the process of how this works? Okay. And I encourage you to be bold here. So one of these passages is Jesus' first sermon, at least in Luke, where he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to proclaim liberation to the oppressed, to give sight to the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And I like to tell people, Jesus didn't suggest reduction of sentences for the captives and loosening of handcuffs for the oppressed. He proclaimed liberation. He proclaimed freedom. I mean, these are powerful images. And how much are our imaginations constrained by the world around us, what the world says is possible instead of what God says is possible? So,
can I share something that helps me in this exercise?
Yeah.
When the person is reading the poem or the scripture, I just sit there with my pen on the paper, and I literally just all over the page, I just write down the words that I hear, and I'm not trying to like think too critically about it. I'm just writing down a word that like jumps out at me, and by the end, I might have like 40 or 50 words or very short phrases just written all over the paper. And you don't have to use them all, but then later when I kind of put it together in a poem, I feel like I've got a lot to draw from, so that helps me.
Yeah, if you just sit down with a bunch of people and say, "Here's a piece of paper, write a poem," nothing happens. But you do this; it's remarkable what you'll be able to generate by being given permission to have some fun with this. Welcome, Andrew.
Hey, thanks.
We're doing an exercise called Found Poetry. We're going to read several different verses of scripture. You can write down whatever phrases stick out to you, cover a piece of paper with them, and then when we're done with the five verses, you can write your own poetic vision for the kingdom of God realized.
Okay.
So, welcome to the group. Anybody have any questions or thoughts or anything that you want to say before we start? Well, we need five readers. Ready? You can do the first one.
I'll read.
Thank you. Read the second.
I'll read three.
Thank you. Read fourth. Great. If you cover your paper, we have plenty more paper. You got paper.
Alright, we're ready? Isaiah 11, 1 through 9. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Isaiah 40. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass, their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain. O Zion, herald of good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for them, for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. Luke 4:16-19. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor."
Luke chapter 6. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples, and he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who are weeping now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men will hate you, and when they will separate you from their company, and will reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe to you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you that are full, for you will hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth you on the one cheek, offer also the other. And for him that takes away your cloak, forbid him not to take your coat as well. Give to every man that asks of you, and of him that takes away your goods, then ask him not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise."
Revelation, chapter 21:1-6.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." And then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life."
So the exercise now, this reminder, is to take some of these words and phrases that you've gotten. You don't have to use all 500 of them if you're like me, but to just write what vision God has on your heart for the world that we're called to work with God to build together. Thank you. Well, about 10 minutes, and then we can share and speak to what the scriptures said to you today. You could just take one word from this whole thing and just use that as a springboard if you want to. Yeah. It's a very free form writing exercise to tap into your kind of creativity by using the scripture as a on-ramp. Still writing, not feeling like you have to stop. But with anyone who has finished, want to share?
Right. Voice cries out to the spirit of knowledge, wisdom, and freedom. There shall be no wickedness or death. God is the Alpha and Omega. He saves us and we rejoice. He frees us and we proclaim his name. He releases us and we are comforted in him. The Lord breathes life into us.
Mm-hmm.
I'll lower the bar. Blessings and goodness to you who wait and wonder. A new spring has come. New leaves have sprouted on the old stump. A new heaven and a new earth are upon us. What was up is down, and what was down is up. The bonds of poverty, hunger, sadness, and hate are released. We are warm and full.
Thank you.
We'll share.
Thank you.
From the roots of the earth, from heaven coming down, a new heaven, a new earth, here. God's kingdom next to us, in us, making all things new. The unloved, cherished. The unwanted desired, the unclean washed anew, the weakened comforted, the rich generous, the wicked no more. The home of God is our love, wisdom, compassion, understanding, knowledge. The love of God is our home. Here.
I'll go. Under the tree will I rest, the tree whose branches lead and reach like a small child, whose shoot has shot out in every direction, connecting furthest and farthest lions and lambs from one tree. In the dirt and the dust lies the stump, strength growing from uneven, rough. All people growing like grass in this dirt where we wither and fade. Why do we equate poor and dirt? Hear, pray, give, grow, cry out, stand forever without fear. In this dirt we have new earth.
This is called, I Talk to Myself When I'm Under Stress. All I know is what I see. The wisdom and knowledge comes from righteousness. All I believe is what I think. May my knowledge come from the fear of the Lord. All I do is what is right. But the Lord says, see, I am doing a new thing. All I speak is what is truth.
what shall I cry? Now is lifted up, now is made straight, path is free. All I try is what I know. But the prophet says, prepare, get ready, a new earth is coming. All that is all there is. But there will be a new heaven and a new earth. All I have is what I am. Do not fear. You are mine.
Thank you. I'll read mine. A new heaven and a new earth, ushering from the mouth of God. The Lord's speech brings down the mountains. The Lord's breath raises up the valleys. The wolf lies down with the lamb. The vicious have their hunger and evil removed. The victims have their minds and bodies restored. Those who couldn't dance are shaking their hips on the city walls. Those who were picked last are captains of the heavenly soccer team. A child, a lion, lead the great marching band of the heavenly... great heavenly marching band down the highway of God. Trumpets sound.
I titled mine, "You People Listen." The Spirit of the Lord will rest on us. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Let us judge the poor with righteousness. Let us bring good news to the poor. Let us comfort his people, because Zion will be restored. Here is your God. He will give water as a gift, as a spring of the water of life. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people shall see it together.
Thank you. Anyone else going to share?
I'll share. I think mine's more plagiarism than everyone else's. It's not so much like a poem, but I didn't give it a title. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. So obviously this is just one of the verses we read. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Instead of flesh giving birth to flesh, spirit will give birth to spirit. Fruitful branches shall come out from the shoot which has come from the stump of Jesse. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on us, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Our delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. We shall not judge by what our eyes see, or decide by what our ears hear, but with righteousness we shall judge the poor.
Well, did anything, obviously a bunch of stuff stuck out to us about these different verses. Are there any particular insights or reflections people want to share about the scriptures today? Or what you learned in this exercise?
I think it's interesting to take the Old Testament lessons with the New Testament lessons, and these are all sort of familiar texts, and to put them together on one page and throw it all up and make a new thing is enlightening for me, and it also helps me to focus on what's being said, that there is this hope and a change and a difference, a big difference. So, yeah, I like the exercise.
I found myself kind of editorializing
as I was, even as I was listening, I kind of started going into the, you know, right mode instead, and then I would be reminded to just listen and imagine things that I can't imagine, you know, instead of choosing words that are familiar or passages that are particularly meaningful or familiar, you know. Mm-hmm. But just listening in a different way, that was really helpful and important. Mm-hmm. Something that I hope I will remember to be conscious of when I listen to scripture in the future. It's a good reminder to be able to just let words, God's word, penetrate in God's way. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to do.
Well, I found it interesting. We all had kind of similar vision in a sense of like we spent a lot of our day and a lot of our energy building earthly things, but as we were connecting ourselves with what the Spirit was saying, I feel like what we were all envisioning is like safe relationship places where people are valued and feel loved, and where we have deep interaction and where we have gifts of the Spirit, like hope. And so like we were all connecting into these deeper things, human value and interaction. None of us really imagined something. Do you know what I'm saying? We were all talking about really deep, heart, safe, relational.
Yes.
I just found that interesting. I mean, really, everyone's imagination could have been said to have been in one spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. In a way, I felt like it kind of reflected what you were saying earlier about like our very narrow imaginations. Because when I'm looking at this Luke 4 passage, release to the captives, I think I've just always culturally thought of it as like people who are unjustly put into prison or something, or like, I mean, in a way, it could mean everyone, like released, you know, from jail, from whatever your captivity is,
addiction,
yeah,
fear,
yeah. I think my narrow imagination has been, you know, refugees in, you know, a camp like that, but to widen it to mean all sort of captivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went there too. I liked all the choices of poetry because it's full of some of the favorite, all the paradoxes of our faith and the opposites and the upside downness of our faith and culture. But I've always seen it too as well, I hope that the world gets it someday, you know. But I really personalized it today in terms of, you know, I need to be turned upside down too.
Mm-hmm. I also remember there were a number of upside down references. I wanted to draw an arrow on my poem, or somehow I was going to put an arrow on the front page just for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just always opposite God's way.
His ways are not our ways.
No, clearly not.
Well, it doesn't have to be the way it is. You know, sometimes somebody will say, oh, there's too much of this, whatever. And then you could say, well, maybe there's not enough. Somebody does this and that, they're bothering me, they're putting their stuff here, they're putting their stuff on my floor. Well, maybe we should build them a little shelf for their stuff instead of being upset that it's there. I mean, these sort of paradoxes in life can come to us in remarkable ways sometimes.
Yeah. I think the prophets are really creative people, and that we have to be creative. God is a creator, and we've been given the power to be creators too. Adam in the garden is given the power to name the animals, which isn't just sort of You know, in the Hebrew notion, you probably know this, the name of something is its identity. So, Adam, you know, what's that?
Even its nature.
Nature, yeah. Humans were given this unique power amongst all of creation to be creators too, to give something its essence and its name. And so we can use that for good, or we can use it for evil. Mm. It's fun to sit down with some folks and imagine together. I'd love, maybe we can do it tomorrow, but to pose the question, we're out of time, so we need to close up, but just, you know, do you really believe in this stuff? I mean, do you really believe that the world is going to be redeemed? Is that article of faith something that you feel? Something you live by? I like
that.
We
just talked about that on our hike today. Yeah. In a sense. Hmm. With Jacob.
Nice.
Those are important things to consider, kind of, you know, as obvious as the question is, or as kind of far-fetched.
Mm-hmm.
It's, do you really?
Yeah.
Is it in there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to close in prayer. Does anyone feel led to lead that prayer?
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Does that scare us? I've been good on the laments day, but it's not really.
God, I just thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for the mystery of it and the way it makes us draw closer to you to understand it. God, I thank you for this time to be vulnerable with each other. As we get to know you, we get to know each other. God, I thank you for the unity, really, that was here today. God, and the safety and the beauty, God, of each person and each person's contribution. Lord, I pray that you would teach us more how to be united and how to value each other and to honor each other. And thank you for John and Freddie coming, God, and just the breath of life that they are bringing here, God. Just pray that you would be with us in spirit and in truth as we finish out our day. In Jesus' name.
Great poem. Prophetic vision.